rockabilly obviously declined in popularity. So then you did country music. Tears Will Be the Chaser for Your Wine, the box it came in.
Well, now, 61 or two, country music had changed. Think back just a little further. All of a sudden, Patsy Cline was on the scene with the violins, backup singers. And I thought, man, you know, that's so pretty. I'd love to do some recording like that. So I wrote a song called Right or Wrong. It lended itself to that type of arrangement. We didn't use the fiddles and things on it. I guess I began singing some of Patsy's songs, and I just wanted to go back to country because I wasn't getting any airplay. Nothing was happening. I kept recording country and rock. We were putting out a single as well as albums with country on one side, rock on the other. But the only songs I could get any airplay on with any little popularity at all was the country songs. So I said, I might as well just forget it. I'm not ever going to get a hit in rock. And as soon as I quit, this was 1960, I guess, before Wendell and I were married, they pulled Let's Have a Party out of the album, and it became a hit. Then I started doing strictly country. It was during this time that I recorded the songs you mentioned, but I did In the Middle of a Heartache, Little Bitty Tear, songs like that. And I had a hit on Right or Wrong. So that threw me back into the country's good graces.
And then, as you mentioned, Patsy Cline, then there were finally female singers on the national stage.
Right. Until then, it was Kitty Wells, Gene Shepherd, and me. Then they had local, you know, all around the nation. Certain girls would be popular in their area, but not nationwide like we were.
Patsy Cline, did she kind of help break that glass ceiling, so to speak?
I think she must have, yeah.
I Fall to Pieces.
It was country.
Yeah.
You know, it was definitely a country song, but it was classy. I don't know, it was just different at the time.
In the 50s until the early 70s, you were a big attraction in Las Vegas.
Right, I worked Vegas quite a bit.
In and out of there a lot. Mm-hmm. At the Golden Nugget always or other places?
No, I started out at the Showboat, which is outside of town a little ways. It was a very popular venue for people to work, as well as the gambling part. It was popular. And then they added the bowling lanes, and that made it even more popular. It wasn't hard to get a good crowd, but that's where I worked until Let's Have a Party came along, I believe it was, and the Nugget offered me a spot headlining at the Nugget, which is downtown. That's a much more prestigious venue.
Frank Sinatra would have been out there in these times. Did you ever meet him?
No, never did, and he was on Capitol. Him and Nat King Cole, Dean Martin recorded for Capitol, and I just didn't get to meet him.
You just never crossed paths.
I always wanted to, of course.
In 65, you were invited to record in Germany by Capitol Records, Electrola Label.
Mm-hmm.
The song Santo Domingo was a big success.
See, I have to go out of America to get number one songs. Fujiyama Mama in Japan and Santo Domingo in Germany. But that's all right. It's been a wonderful experience, both of them. Yes, EMI called and invited me to come over and do an album. So I said, oh, yeah, sure. I've always wanted to go to Germany. They said, well, now, we want you to sing in the German language. That's when I said, wait a minute. I can't do that. Oh, yeah, you can do it. And we like your voice. There's something about your voice that we like. So come over and we'll help you. We'll write special songs for you. We'll have someone to teach you the phonetics. But we'll make it very easy for you. Easy, ha-ha. Hardest work I've ever done, but it's paid off greatly for me. And the first song that they released went to number one.
You recorded that in German?
In the German language. Since that time, I've recorded 18 songs in the German language.
Did you record also in Dutch and Japanese?
Yes. They thought that song, Santo Domingo, might be a hit in those countries. So I did 4 in Dutch, I think, and 2 in Japanese.
And you recorded a whole German album.
Yeah, that's the 18 songs.
Okay. How did you learn to sing in German?
Oh, it was very hard.
You have a special tutor?
Well, yes. There was a man that worked with me on phonetics. He would try to write out a word phonetically, but I couldn't understand his writing. I'd say, okay, we'd start with, let's say, Troisein. Du kannst nicht Troisein. Okay, Troy. I'd say, like, the man's name? Troy. Yeah, just Troy. Okay, I'd write T-R-O-Y dash Zine, Zine. Okay, Zine. Z-I-N-E. And that's the way we started every song. Then I had to learn the melodies. They were a little more pop melodies. They called it country. But, you know, they were still pretty pop to me. Then I had to learn to phrase those lyrics within the song. Then I had to ask, what am I singing about here? Am I happy or sad or what do I do? Oh, it was very awkward. And the number one song, the story behind it, I have no idea how long it took me to phonetically write out the words and learn the melody. But when I got in front of the microphone, I was there 6 hours. On one song.
Wow.
Just getting the hang of this kind of recording. I'd run out of the studio crying. Wendell would be in the control room, but he'd come out and talk me, come on now, honey. This is going to be good. You're going to be able to do it. Oh, I don't want to do it. I can't. Yes, you can. So I'd go back in. That happened a few times.
But it must have come off as real authentic, because if they listened and thought, oh, this is broken German, as we like to say, or whatever, they may not have accepted it.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. All I know is what I was told, that the German people can definitely understand me. There it goes back to our good diction again. They can understand the word, and they think it's cute. The way I say it. And they like my voice. They say it's good to the ear. Because I also offered there to learn German. Would that help me? No, no, we don't want you to learn it. We want it just like you would say it, you know. Mm-hmm. Go figure. You never know.
So then in Germany, crowds came out and they really loved you, didn't they?
We didn't work it like we should have then. I don't know why. I'd made trips over just for television, but there weren't venues using American artists. Now, maybe the big ones, Sinatra and those people, may have done. I don't know. But if I worked in Germany in 65, it would have been military bases for the Officers Club or the NCO. I took my band over there once, and one time only. I said never again.
Because?
Oh, I don't know. They just kept getting in trouble.
No.
They weren't taking it too seriously, I guess. But we got some good stories there. But all the years since that I've been in Germany, in fact, I was looking at my schedule for this year, what's booked, and I'm going to Germany again in October. I go every year once or twice.